B-Pod Studios.
Super Bowls, and they're looking for number six.
Let's start filling up that other hand. Boy, what a job well done, coaches, players, the execution, and how this team finished the last two games with that dominance at the line of scrimmage on the offensive side of the ball and really needing nothing from the passing game. There's so much to be said for that. Kyle Shanahan and just sticking with it. How about Mostert and the game he put together?
Fun playing music. Caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see the Celtics take on the Memphis Grizzlies tomorrow night from Rafters inside the TD Garden. Rafters is a social club with stunning views and a bunch of craft beer options. Go to tdgarden.com/rafters to learn about a Rafters membership. On the phone, we have Will Brinson. He's a senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com. He also hosts the Daily Pick 6 podcast, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Brinson, we got ourselves the bowl.
Yeah. What a man, what a world we're living in, this post-Patriots apocalyptic scenario where anything can happen and a new champion will be crowned. It feels weird, and I know I'm not supposed to say this on Boston area radio, but it feels weird and different and fun and cool.
Yes, and I think if Brady leaves, that is great. I think it's great for everybody. I mean, if Brady leaves, yeah. I think that it's phenomenal, and it makes the next season certainly one of the most interesting, I would believe, in the history of football.
Well, then it's Brady versus Belichick. Which team does better? Which person individually is able to do more? I mean, isn't that kind of what we always want to know the answer to?
Yes. Like,
who's most responsible for the success?
If you're a fan of football, you want Brady gone.
It's great for you guys. It's great for me. It's great for anybody with content related to the NFL, because that stuff will go bananas. I mean, I don't remember. It's been a long time, but and I would have to, you know, I don't even know if we have the reports, but like the numbers that we got for like Peyton Manning stories when he was travailing, like traveling around the country, like secret submarine meetings with Pete Carroll about maybe going to the Seahawks, and then they had to settle for Matt Flynn, and like, you know, having like people helicopter into Duke to watch him work out. I mean, it was pretty insane. Or like the Favre stuff when he was debating coming back.
Ed Werder just camped out in Mississippi.
Yeah.
These big name quarterbacks, when they go on free agent tours, and this is like the biggest one. I mean, it's the GOAT. And if he goes on a free agent tour and he's traveling around the country, you know, like interviewing with Anthony Lynn to decide if he wants to go to the Chargers or whatever, you know, maybe he's like down in Tampa or Miami. I mean, who the hell knows where he's going to go? I think he should check out everything. I want it to happen. I need it to happen. It's great for us.
Well,
it's great for y'all.
Well, Philip Rivers, I think it was just reported, ended up moving from San Diego back home to Florida. And now the big talk is that I think it was Lachlan Fora who said that Tampa is somebody that everyone's listening
to. Said it on my podcast this morning. Go check it out if you want the full breakdown of that and Tom Brady.
Yeah, just go turn away from us and go to the podcast.
Your show ends at like noon or something, right? You guys do like a 2 hour.
We can barely squeak out four.
In all seriousness, on the river stuff, like JLC and I did have a good discussion of that on the podcast. You can check it out. But I would say this. My sense of it is that while Tampa is very much a distinct possibility, that the reason he moved to Florida, like if I were a multimillionaire and I was living in San Diego.
Right.
And I was moving back to the East Coast with a bunch of kids, I would build my first residence in Florida.
Sure.
And then after about 6 months, after perchance establishing my residence, I would go move to wherever the hell I actually wanted to live.
Right.
Sure. It would obviously make sense. But I mean, what does this all mean? And then there was, of course, the explosion that happened on Saturday night when you had the two best-looking people in the room, Tom Brady and Mark Davis, meeting up at the UFC fight. And, of course, everyone, you know, started speculating there. But the only thing about that that it kind of makes me think that there might be something to it, and we talked about this yesterday, is it the same guy that gave John Gruden $100 million over 10 years? You're telling me that he wouldn't do something desperate and approve like $100 million for 3 years to get Tom Brady to open up that new stadium?
Oh, no, I think he definitely would. I mean, people got mad at me when I suggested that the Raiders and Chargers needed to sell tickets. Like, the Raiders ticket sales are doing fine. It's like, yeah, that's great, but like, you're still going to a new market. Yeah. And if you put Tom Brady on billboards in the silver and black, like, people are going to want to come check that out. I mean, if you're going to, I mean, if you, let's say you go to Vegas for a bachelor party in, you know, October of 2020, and you're staying through Monday, and the Raiders have a home game, and Tom Brady's playing against the Patriots or something like that's a Mayweather Pacquiao level ticket to get in Vegas, even on a Sunday night. So, I mean, I think it's crazy. I certainly believe that both the Chargers and the Raiders, for reasons that extend beyond football, would be interested in bringing Tom Brady in. I think he'd make their football teams better, given where they are right now. The Chargers don't have a quarterback. The Chargers have Tyrod Taylor, and the Raiders have Derek Carr, my best friend. So I think, A, the upgrades would be worth it. But B, like, my pal Darren Rovell would tweet about this, like, your Q rating or your brand rating. You know, like it would – it's gonna
don't bring in Rovell. Rovell has a job that is the most all he does is report the obvious. But the I will tell you this, is that you will overpay, and you're absolutely right, because Brady's not worth what the Raiders would give him. There's no way. He's old and he's diminishing skills. He's not going to be any good in a couple years. But, you know, the Patriots, if I'm a Patriots fan, I don't want him. But if I'm a Raiders fan or I'm a Chargers fan, bring me something interesting. I mean, you know, spend the money. I'll buy the ticket. So, I mean, he's going to get paid far more than he's worth. And there just happens to be a couple situations out there where, you know, his PR means more than his performance.
Well, and the other thing, too, yeah. And I'm sorry, Will.
Go ahead.
Just to add to that, if you lost in the AFC Championship the way that the Titans just did, aren't you also sitting there, if your ownership, going, man, we could taste it. The Super Bowl was right there. And you're telling me that if we didn't have a guy just that little bit extra like Tom Brady behind center, we couldn't have – that might have been the thing that put us over the
top. And you're never going to hitch your wagon to your current starting quarterback.
You're absolutely right. You're telling me that that's not team number three that would be willing to throw anything that Tom Brady wanted his way. Could they?
No, I agree completely. I think the Titans make a ton of sense. A, you have – the team is coached by Mike Vrabel, who's one of his buddies and one of his former teammates, and the guy who used to catch passes from him as a linebacker. So, like, that transition is kind of easy. This team has sort of a mentality – about it that fits what Tom Brady likes to be. I mean, they're not as like Boston classy. They're a little more Nashville rednecky, which is fine. John Robinson used to be in New England. They've done a great job finding a bunch of young talent. You know, they can franchise tag Ryan Tannehill and transition tag Derrick Henry this offseason because of the way the CBA works in the final year. And that's huge for them. But maybe they're like, what if instead of renting Ryan Tannehill for $28 million next year and then paying him $30 million a year for the next 3 years, we just sign Tom Brady and be like, Tom, listen, you're coming down here. We're going to get Henry back in the fold. We got your boy Deion Lewis, Corey Davis, A.J. Brown, Johnny Smith. We got some weapons here for you. We'll franchise tag Jack Conklin instead of Tannehill. We'll keep him in place. We got a great offensive line, a defense that's kind of blossoming, even though DP's left. Yeah, and then, like, look, this division stinks, and you might get, you know, I think that if I, like, the more and more I think about this, and I still think that Tom Brady probably ends up back in New England.
So do I.
Because of how things play out.
Boo.
But like, if you're Tom Brady and you come back to New England and you play with questionable weapons or whatever Bill Belichick brings back in 2020, maybe he upgrades it, who knows, and the team doesn't perform well, is whose legacy is getting smashed more by a poor offense? Is it Bill Belichick or Tom Brady? Because, I mean, the answer is Tom Brady, right?
That's a great point.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
And if the offense keeps stinking, and the defense looks great, people give points to Belichick in this imaginary counter. Whereas if you go to Nashville and you win 12 games with the Titans and the Patriots miss the playoffs, it flips everything on its head just in terms of how people will perceive, at least in the immediate future, rightly or wrongly, the way they look at Belichick versus Brady, which is it's not even a rivalry maybe to them, or is it subconsciously? I mean, like, the whole thing is very bizarre, but I do think that the more that Tom Brady gets out there and sort of talks to these other teams, the greater the idea of, hey, maybe I can win without being in New England kind of presents itself.
Okay, if you're a listener, please either turn off the radio or focus on my point. Okay?
This ought to be good.
Or focus on my point.
Oh, man. Right. I can't because wait.
I'm throwing something in there that people, if you're not paying attention, no, don't do that. Don't do that. It's not a hot take.
Oh,
but I'm going to mention someone, and people are going to go, whoa! All right, so Ted Johnson, who played on the team, said that he believed that Gronkowski would stay. It would have stayed if Belichick wasn't the coach. It's starting to come out that people are sick of him as a coach. In the Aaron Hernandez documentary, Aaron Hernandez talks about how much he hated Belichick. Now, Aaron Hernandez is a killer and was a psycho. Very good. But he hated playing for Belichick. Do you think... Well, there's something to that. And do you think Brady would not only like the challenge, but it's just like, enough. I just want to see how it feels to play for someone else.
I think, no, I don't even know if he, look, I mean, I think that subconsciously, that's not a hot take, by the way. Subconsciously.
Well, the Aaron Hernandez thing, they're going to.
Aaron Hernandez thing is weird, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Drum roll, serial killer. I think that subconsciously that both Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and probably consciously, but they just wouldn't say it publicly to anyone other than like their extreme loved ones. And maybe only if the extreme, like Linda Holiday and Giselle might be the only ones privy to this discussion. And only if they brought it up first, and even then it might get shut down. But like, of course, each one of them wants to win without the other one. When Bill Belichick, who's the greatest coach of all time, gets mentioned, there is inherently at some point a discussion of, well, he did get Brady in the sixth round in 2001. And when Tom Brady, who is the greatest quarterback of all time, bar none, gets mentioned about his career, it's like, well, he did get to play for the Patriots his whole career. So yeah, like Belichick winning a Super Bowl without Brady, or Brady winning a Super Bowl without Belichick in another city, it would be a paradigm shift in terms of how we examine sort of the legacies of each guy. I don't think it would ever take Belichick away from being the greatest of all time, or Brady away from being the greatest of all time, but like it would certainly move, or it would potentially move one above the other when you're having that discussion about who was more important in New England for the greatest dynastic run in football history.
Okay, real quick, if Patrick Mahomes was drafted by another team, do you think he'd be as good as he is now? And with that being said, how often do you think quarterbacks are drafted that could have succeeded in some systems and are just wasted?
It's a great question. I'll be quick about it, maybe. I do not think he would be as good. So, like, I firmly believe, and this you could actually do the drum roll for this one, that if you had given Patrick Mahomes to the Bears and John Fox and Mitchell Trubisky to the Chiefs and Andy Reid and let him sit for a year, that Mitchell Trubisky might be a better quarterback right now in the NFL than Patrick Mahomes.
Okay. And that's the question I'm asking, yeah. Is that
yeah,
so?
Like Patrick Mahomes is an incredible talent.
Right.
I'm calling the hot take police.
No. He's saying that he's saying Trubisky in Kansas City would be better than Mahomes
in Chicago.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's a hot take. Because the question is, how often are these guys there's no way that these guys that are drafted out of college all are ultimately going to suck. I mean, there's got to be guys that if you get drafted into a situation where you're coached, you still have to be coached. I mean, a crappy high school coach can waste talent. Great talent cannot overcome poor coaching. That is what we as coaches say.
A year of sitting down and being able to study completely, you know, unimpeded by the pressures of being thrown in for a bad team or learning on the fly, and working with Andy Reid closely and Mike Kafka and Doug Peterson and Matt Nagy and Alex Smith and all of these guys whose like sole purpose is to win football games, but in their side job is trying to like, you know, basically build a learning bubble for you as a quarterback, is going to make almost anybody a substantially better quarterback. Now, it helps to have the talent there and the work ethic, and Mahomes has all that. I'm not questioning him, but I just think that like he would be throwing like 28 picks a year if he was playing for the Bears in some kind of weird offensive system, and Trubisky might be having like a really efficient monster year for Andy Reid.
Interesting. It's been something that has been on my mind of late because of the way Mahomes plays and he freelances and all that stuff. I don't know if he was on a team that tried to coach that out of him. Because I think
you think Patrick Mahomes is going to make Adam Gase like be good?
No, but but I've also been reading how Tannehill wasn't Gase's fault. But listen, but at least Gase would let him go. There are people that like want you to play a certain way, like defensive minded coaches that refuse to budge. Like, I want you to be more of a pocket passer, and your arm angle's screwed up, and blah 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 blah. Couldn't you see that being coached out of him?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like if he had to play for John Fox John Fox had Mitchell Trubisky as a rookie, and Trubisky was like, man, this guy stinks. You know what I mean? Like I just think Mahomes he would have been thrown into week four as a rookie, or maybe even week one with John Fox's offense. They would have tried to run the ball. They wouldn't have encouraged. They would have had him do like, you know, 5-step drops every single play and try to force the ball into Allen. I mean, it would have been a disaster.
Yeah. All right, Will Brinson, senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com. You can get the Daily Pick 6 podcast. Thank you so much for the time.
Yeah, guys, have a great day.
All right, there you go. We will return.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Did you know this is the 10th season of Curb Your Enthusiasm?
You know what? I realized yesterday that there's like 3 seasons I haven't seen.
I haven't seen like 5.
Have you seen the premiere, the one that was on just the other night?
No.
It's excellent. Like it's an all-timer. They came right out of the box and it's excellent.
So I will not have to have caught up. I will in the ways of
because I have not watched the several seasons before it.
Is it better than the one with the lady in the wheelchair at Rosie O'Donnell's house?
I'm trying to remember that one.
It's just like cringy and great.
See, I don't remember that one.
Okay.
So no, Larry David thinks of an ingenious way to not have to talk to people he doesn't want to talk to.
Okay.
That's all I'll tell you. And it's effing brilliant.
Because I've been, when I get home and I eat and then sleep, which is why I'm such good shape. I've been watching Seinfeld on Hulu. And that's only 9 seasons. So this is the 10th season.
Yeah, I have no idea. I had no idea it was on that long.
I watched, my kids were around yesterday, and they didn't have the activity. So I watched the extended cut of Talladega Nights, which really has barely any swears in it. Like, I was amazed how little swearing there is in
really?
It. Yeah, like, the kids swear more than anyone else. Like, I don't care if my kids hear swears, but, like, I was like, huh, they didn't swear there. And I thought that the stuff that they took out of the movie, the stuff that they put back in, a lot of it's John C. Reilly just improvising, and it's fantastic.
I think Gary Cole's still the best part of that
movie. Well, Gary Cole... I can't remember. Did Gary Cole come into the career day in the real one?
I think he did. He did show up.
Okay.
I do remember. I see now because I've seen the one that has the extra stuff, and I don't remember what originally was in it.
John C. Reilly didn't call and say he thought that Will Ferrell's house was haunted in the first one. Did he?
No, I don't think so.
And that was a great scene. Did he talk to him about it? Was in the first one, did he call him getting into the hot tub and ask him how to use the hot tub?
I don't remember. I just remember.
Because those calls I don't recall from the first movie, and they were great.
They were great. I'm telling you, that movie and Step Brothers, they get better every time I watch them. Step Brothers might be my favorite comedy.
See, Step Brothers is constantly on.
I know. And every time it's on, the remote stops.
So you haven't read the script for Grown Ups 3 that the...
The fake that, one that's going around? No, I have
not. The fake one that's going around?
No.
Where it becomes like a murder mystery?
Oh, jeez.
It's great. It's great. And like the way that they... Like position the people in Sandler's life, like the dude from Grandma's Boy, like the
Alan
bitch.
Covert, yeah,
he's like yep. the guy, and then Schneider's like very bitter because he wasn't in Grown Ups 2, I guess. And so like, but then it becomes his big murder mystery, and then but there's a part of it where they go, they're all like you know, they're like kind of fighting, and then they all go to their separate rooms. They're on set of Grown Ups 3. Because it breaks the third wall. It's Grown Ups 3, but it's them
okay.
making Grown Ups 3.
I see. It's like the new 90210 reboot.
Yeah, which really was good.
And Titanic like disaster.
There's a scene, and then they go, and they're like, what they're doing in their room. Uh-huh. And then Kevin James turns on the TV, and there's Paul Blart, and he's pouring chili over his head. And then he turns on another station, it's King of Queens, and he's pouring soup over his head. See? It's actually pretty good. But like, but it's like a good movie. Like,
yeah.
It's like, it's an interesting...
Somebody made the Grown Up series funny, is what you're saying.
Like, in like weird, and it's really... Tom Sharpling is the guy's name that did it. And if you haven't seen... It doesn't take long to read. These scripts aren't long. In fact, it makes writing a script look really, really easy.
Well, Sandler's kind of having a renaissance right now. Yeah. I mean, between not only him going on tour and getting, of course, a lot of high praise for his turn on SNL when he returned, and then you've got this Uncut Gems thing. I wonder if he's shying away from making a movie like that now.
I would.
Because you
only get so many chances at a reboot.
Like, he's got like a string of good things going on.
Yeah.
So I wonder if he has a script that's like Jack and Jill, where he plays his like sister
that he
would have normally said yes to like 10 years ago.
I think he writes those, though. Like, I think he wrote Jack and Jill.
The Happy Madison. Yeah, but I wonder if he shies away from doing those type
of things. I think it's time to leave your friends behind.
Well, here's what he says. First of all, I mean, the guy got so much money from Netflix, not like he wasn't rich anyway.
He got like a 6-movie deal that was like for a gratuitous amount of money.
Yeah, he got wearing like gray sweatpants on TV money. So, which is one of my favorite things about Sandler is that he just dresses like me. And plays more basketball. If I played more basketball, I could probably get down to Sandler way. But not in the new film. But and they asked why, like, you're good in Uncut Gems, which he is. He's very good in it. And they said, why don't you do it more often? He's like, no one asked me.
Yeah.
He's like, no one asked me to do these films. Like, they're not going around like, oh, you know, McConaughey won't do it. Mm-hmm. He's not going to lose the weight to do, you know, the AIDS movie. Let's get Adam Sandler. So I guess it's true. And by the way, Kevin Garnett's in that movie for like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
So we can stop with the Kevin Garnett is fantastic.
But as himself, I heard he's good.
Yeah. He can act. He's not looking at the camera. He's not, he's acting. He's a good actor. But I mean, he's in the movie for about a total of 10 minutes.
Adam Sandler said that if he didn't, which he didn't, this is before the nominees were announced, because if he doesn't get an Oscar nomination for Uncut Gems, he goes, if I don't get it, I'm going to effing come back and do one again that is so bad on purpose just to make you all pay.
I wonder if they'll make Grown Ups 3.
I mean, those movies made a zillion.
No. If they'll make Sharpling's.
See, that's actually not bad.
Because Sharpling said you can use it only if you. People are putting up plays of it and like schools are doing it. And so he said you can use it, but only if you use the money for charity.
Yeah.
So like all these places are making it. And there are film people, which is hyperbole, but they're saying like it's the best script of the year and all this stuff. So if you have not read Grown Ups 3 by Tom Sharpling, I strongly suggest you do so.
Right.
Because it is funny, but it is also a... people get killed.
A lot of murder.
It's a weird twist.
By the way, David Spade is probably... He looks good for his age, but David Spade, no joke, is 5'4". And he has gotten more women...
Yeah.
As many women as anyone in Hollywood over the course of the last 20 years.
He's like that Wilmer Valderrama guy from that 70s show. You're like, how?
Yeah, but he prayed. Like, he was like, Spade just is like every day. He's like with a Playboy chick or every day. Like, Valderrama, like, went through the young starlets.
Sure. Is Spade working?
He has a show on TV Comedy show. Central.
Yeah. Okay. Because I know Wilmer Valderrama has a show.
Really?
I think he's on NCIS now.
You know who's got a show is that Turtle fella. And it's on one of those networks
really?
That doesn't exist.
How about that?
Oh, like the Logo Network or something?
No, no.
Like
that? Is the show Power or is the network Power? Because, of course, Bird knows. Because in Everett, he's a hero.
Turtle, the guy from Entourage. That Turtle?
Yeah.
I don't know. I know Power's the TV show that's got 50 Cent in it, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that Power?
I don't know. Whatever. But there's these new streaming services that I've never heard of that are popping up. And I'm like, what the hell is this?
Right. Like, everyone tells me to watch Fleabag. And I'm like, dude, I don't know what streaming.
That's on Amazon.
I know. A lot of people have said that to me, too.
It's like, all right.
Yeah.
But nice. You have, everyone has Amazon Prime.
So I have Amazon Prime. I could watch it, but I'm just
It's too challenging.
It's like a million streaming things.
Yeah. It's too challenging. All right. Well, we will be back, Rich. What will we talk about in the stack?
All right. I promise it won't be a complete bring down, but we have to talk about what's going on with Delonte West.
Yeah. And very good people taking videos of that. We will be back. Here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub, this just in, according to Chase Goodbread, what, do you own a bakery or something? At the Reese's Senior Bowl, Utah State's Jordan Love is the quarterback with the biggest hands at 10 inches and 5/8. And South Carolina State's offensive lineman Alex Taylor's arms are the longest at 36 and an eighth. Inches.
Okay. How's not Tua? How are Tua's hands?
I have not.
Tua Tagovailoa's
hands. Tua can't
be
at the Senior Bowl.
Well, that's a good point. I'm thinking of, yeah. Nope, I get it. I'm thinking of the combine. Yeah. That's my mistake.
Yeah, get with it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Rich.
Well, everybody loved Delonte West when he was here, and an extremely sad video and series of videos that surfaced yesterday. Remember Delonte West? Over the past couple of years, there were a bunch of reports of people seeing him like living on a bench. There was a story about, remember when he went and played for the Mavericks a little bit after his time with the Celtics, that there was a story that he just wanted to sleep at the facility.
That was Cleveland.
That was Dallas.
I think that was Dallas.
You sure?
Yep.
I thought that was Cleveland.
Okay.
It might have been both.
Because I remember there was a case where people were like, hey, you know, Mark Cuban, why don't you get this guy a place to live? Apparently he had spent all of his money and was broke and living on the street. And since then, we've kind of not really heard much from him until yesterday when a series of videos surfaced. The first few being a man in the middle of a street that's like a three-lane road.
It looked like the freeway.
Yeah, I mean, it's a smaller freeway, it seems like. And traffic has stopped, and right in the middle of the road is a guy just getting his absolute ass kicked by another guy, to the point where when the man on the ground is lying on his back, the dude starts stomping on his head on the video and dragging him around. And to that, everyone's got their cameras out and everyone's filming.
And everyone's got emojis on their video.
And then there's people who thought, hey, that looks a lot like Delonte West. Well, sure enough, when the police show up, there's a guy sitting on the sidewalk, and it's been confirmed it was Delonte West. Here is Delonte West, who looks like he's been living on the street, in a video of him talking to the police.
What?
Man, all
right. Why'd you hit him? Did he attack you first? Was it self-defense, or did you hit him?
Man, I walked down the street. The man approached me with a gun.
Where's his gun at?
I don't give a
Okay. You know where his gun is?
I don't give a
Okay.
Young champ. I'm the leader of the goddamn Navy SEALs. And the Army. And the Navy. I'm what President Trump. I'm the real president.
Okay.
I'm right now. I'm not the leader. All the gangs. What happened?
All right.
So, I mean,
he's saying he's President Trump.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's somebody, even when he was playing, there was talk about how he had some mental issues and he used to take some medication to help him with that. And if you saw any of the people reaching out yesterday, like Jameer Nelson wrote this, you know, pretty long post yesterday. He said, to answer, and everyone's been reaching out to me about the situation, all I can do is pray for him and his family and hope that he seeks the proper help. Mental illness is something that I know a lot of people deal with and don't even know it until sometimes it's too late. He said, I'm not sure what exactly is going on with Delonte West, but he knows I'm in his corner. I've spoken to him over the past several months, just letting him know I'm there for him as a friend. One thing I do know is having your mental, emotional, and physical setbacks in life, you need to talk to somebody. And when I say somebody, I mean like a doctor or doctors. Basically he said that he's reached out over the years and recently, and it sounds like he's one of those guys that many people have tried to help, but just
you can't be helped.
So we'll see what that's followed up with.
Well, that's bad news, but to clear everyone's palate, Guy Fieri and Andy Reid.
Where are we going to eat?
We're going to a butcher shop that's also the greatest sandwich shop you've ever eaten at.
The real deal.
The real deal.
What's it called?
The Big Witch.
By the way, Gruden gave me his permission.
Come on, go Chiefs. Here's looking at you, brother. Don't go too far with those fries.
You know how to do the hunch?
Oh, baby, I got it down.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, he owns this.
Wow.
I love the crisp on the pork, and I'm loving the patty. Three cheeses, man, blend perfect. How about the jalapenos? Man alive.
My favorite part of the whole thing, though, is the pulled pork patty.
My favorite part is eating it.
Go back ahead, Coach. I got to give him an A-plus on hunch, though, huh? When I called Coach and I said, where do you want to go? He picked it. Boom.
Well done, brother. Congrats.
Thanks, man. Keep it up. Coach, thank you, man. Yeah. There's some YouTube channel. If you're doing food shows, we're going to talk.
The best is when he's describing the flavor. And the pork has a nice crunch. Uh-huh. Yeah.
The I love the crisp on the pork, and I'm loving the patty.
Yeah, that's exactly.
That is just getting it inside my body as fast as I can.
Yeah, he's not, like, sitting there and sniffing the aroma and the texture of it. He's like, tastes good, shove it down.
Yeah. Don't go too far with those fries.
Don't go too far with those fries. Did you enjoy, like, shoving that down your throat?
Come on, Coach. Yeah.
All right, so Rich has tweeted out some of those pictures, and one thing that someone reminded me of on Twitter was that we were speaking of the Grown Ups 3 script. There is this guy put out this script, and it got him a job writing on Family Guy. There is a post 9/11 Seinfeld episode that a guy wrote that is effing brilliant. Like, it's fantastic.
Oh, yeah?
And so if you get a chance to look at that, do that as well.
By the way, speaking of Family Guy, did you hear about Seth MacFarlane? He just got he left Fox after 21 years doing Family Guy and being on Fox, and NBC gave him a deal for $200 million.
Oh.
He got $200 million to work for NBC over the next several years. His deal expired this past June. He's got this dude. It's going to be 5 years long.
Because he doesn't.
For $200 million.
He doesn't run Family Guy anymore, but he does most of the voices. So is Family Guy going to NBC?
So it says, under the deal, MacFarlane and his production company will develop and produce TV projects for NBC's various networks. He says, during his time. Yeah, so I mean, it doesn't say what's going to happen with that. I know that The Orville was a show that he had. It's moving to Hulu later on for its third season. But, I mean, they said, we want you here. Here's $200 million.
Yeah, because he doesn't write Family Guy anymore, or he's not involved with it except for doing voices. And I still really like that show, so I hope that that's not going anywhere. I've always liked Seth MacFarlane. You know what, the Family Guy debuted after the Super Bowl?
I remember that. And I remember it being not that funny.
Yes, it was not that funny. I had to rediscover it like 3 years later and go, wow, this got really funny.
Well, we all know that it was Adult Swim that saved it.
Yes.
It was the Cartoon Network. It was off the air, and then it got that huge like cult following, and then they were able to ask for whatever they wanted to.
And the first episode back, they're like, you know, we're never going to be on TV again. And he goes, you know what would have to happen? They would have to cancel. And then he lists off about 75 shows that were on Fox. But I always liked Seth MacFarlane. He's from Rhode Island, and he was like a wonderkin. He was like 22 years old when they gave him Family Guy.
Didn't he go to the Rhode Island School of Design down there?
He did.
Yep.
Yeah.
RISD.
Yes.
He's now the exactly old RISD.
Right. He's there. He's the local fella.
And finally, a father was arrested and is charged for simple assault after he rushed and tackled a high school student athlete during a wrestling match out in Kannapolis. That's right. North Carolina. His son was wrestling another guy and ended up giving him a little bit of body slam in the wrestling move. Not too dirty. As a matter of fact, the two student athletes stood up, and out of nowhere, here came this dude's dad running into the scene and just levels the other kid.
This has armpit written all over it.
No, I mean, this is something.
Did this happen in North Carolina, Florida, or Arizona?
So there is a friend of mine who has two kids who wrestle, and I went to go watch one of the wrestling matches before. There's something really kind of primal that gets inside of you when you see somebody like kicking your son's ass. It's almost like you've seen these hockey fights before and stuff like that when you're a parent. And there's times where I've looked around and I've thought that a parent was going to do something stupid, but they never do it. This guy literally ran out and leveled the other kid who had body slammed his son in a wrestling match.
Why you would wrestle is beyond me.
See, I think wrestling's a great sport for someone who's not that big.
The training and the sweaty mats and all the crap. And then there's like nothing fun.
It's nothing fun. I mean, that's kind of fun.
Do you know how much wrestling sucks to train? And then you got to cut weight and it's awful. And for what? Nah. And then you get the cauliflower ear. Everything is just gross and fungal. I don't know. I have a friend of mine who wrestled at University of Vermont. But I always go like, why the hell did you wrestle? Like of all the things you could do, like sweat dripping on the mat. And then just all the bear crawls and all that crap that you got to do. You could dip at my school if you were a wrestler, though, to cut weight.
Oh, my high school had a dipping section. Like outside, there was this area for dipping and smoking.
If you were 18?
And I don't think that was a requirement.
They didn't card you?
I don't think so.
We'll find out what's going on with Mr. Scott Zolak and Mr. Mark Bertrand in just a moment.
More Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Something must be going down in the hallway because all three members of Zolak and Bertrand are out there.
Oh.
And here we sit.
Well,
interesting.
Just sitting here waiting for some sort of part of your job.
It's Tuesday, right? I mean, Tuesday and the Bruins have a home game. Aren't they usually at Warrior today?
I don't know. They're here today and they're
in Thursdays.
Okay. And they're right there.
My fault. Sub-Zo, Sarge here.
Sub-Zo, crossover here.
So, is anyone going to the Loon for the big...
I'm out of town. I can't go.
I am coming back from out of town, so I cannot go.
When is it?
Monday night.
Oh, is it Jesus. Monday night?
Okay, yeah. All right, come on. I mean, you would think that they were down with the Wong father enough where you wouldn't have to have it on an off night. That's an industry night.
I got a text from the Wong father apologizing that he could not make it to Pucks and Paddles.
Yeah, that's right. I was so pissed.
He said he did make a donation, which I'm sure he did.
Very important.
He heard us talking about the Wong father being there, and
I don't believe that he gave one. Sounds like a guy who's just trying to skip a tab. Well, anyway, so right now Scott's talking on the couch, got his phone. Hardy is standing to his right, but he's standing, and I can't see Bertrand from this angle. Scott has got sunglasses on.
Yeah, Bertrand's just kind of sitting there, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's pretty obvious that, like Bert going, Bert just decided to go out and get him.
No interest, really.
Yeah.
Well, why force him if they don't have interest?
I mean, you know, Bert could have done this a little while
5 ago. 5 minutes ago, for example.
All right, they're not coming in. They're playing cool. So you know what? We're going to get out of here a minute early. Everyone have a great day. That'll do it for us. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.